Individual names have been changed or removed from this program to protect the identity of callers.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome into Hope in the Night. It's live late-night talk radio offering God's truth for today's problems. And I'm Jim Kress here with best-selling author and conference speaker June Hunt. June has written How to Defeat Harmful Habits, The Answer to Anger, Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes, and the best-selling How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. Well, any night you want to go on the air, that number has been the same since the beginning. When we came on the air some over 17 years ago, 1-800-NIGHT-17. It's 1-800-NIGHT-17. That'll get you connected with us. We can't get to you the night you call in. Remember, it goes to voicemail, and we can call you back on an upcoming night's program. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Throughout the night, too, we'll be giving you the Hope Line. You're going to hear us reference a lot of resources from the Ministry of Hope for the Heart. Biblical, practical, relevant materials on 100 different topics, all of June's books, music, and more. That number to talk to the Hope Care representatives tonight, 1-800-488-4673. June?
Well, I have grabbed my Kleenex.
Oh, no.
They call it a facial tissue, but what that means
facial
is it's for the eyes, because this will be an emotional evening for me. And, Jim, you have some tremendous skills and opportunities in front of you. And we've worked together for 17 years on this particular program.
Yeah.
Just on Hope in the Night. And yet, truthfully, I fully endorse what you are being led to do now. It is so right for you. And you can actually get some sleep. And what that means is you're not going to continue with us officially here. In my personal opinion, you'll always be with us here in heart.
Yeah.
Because you helped initiate. You launched. You were there for the first installment, if you will, the first broadcast of Hope in the Night. And
I
we've
remember.
Done this program all this length of time. And so I want you to know, my friend, I will miss you.
And that's right back at you, and you know that.
Thank
I'll
you.
Miss you, too.
Thank
and miss
you.
The ministry and what it's been a nightly get-together for over 17 years. You started off, remember, as you remember well, with Hope for the Heart Online in the daytime. I was hosting the Minrith-Meyer Clinic and would come over in the daytime to help you start that show. And I want to say this, that I remember as you started that first live show and some of the nerves and things you had, and to sit from that show, Watson, 18, 19 years later, and or however long it's been, and to see your comfort level, and you just sitting there, whether you have your coffee or whatever, and you have come a long way, and just and you've blazed a trail in Christian radio. We've laughed and kind of talked many times, people saying, you know, you have to have the five-minute call, and you have to. And I remember the night being in the studio at what I called the deep freeze in the old over on LBJ Freeway.
It was cold. It was cold.
Well, it was an old walk-in freezer.
Yeah, but you were never cold. That was the thing. I didn't understand. I was the one who was freezing.
You would come in layers of clothes, and I would be in shorts and a T-shirt.
I know.
This is warm. But you came in and said, I've got something for you to consider. And I said, well, what is it? And you said, you talked with, I believe it was Don Cartmell at the time, and this concept didn't even have a name of the show yet before Karis. Remember, Karis named it, Hope in the Night.
Yes.
And I thought, wow, that would be really fun live late at night. Now we're sitting right at almost 17 and a half years later, and it has just been... it's been a big part of my life. My kids have grown up knowing Daddy's on radio late at night. So I'm grateful, June, more than you know. Very grateful.
Well, I think it's a very special opportunity that you have been given. And I think I'm confident that there will be people who want to know now, what is it that, that Jim will be doing? And what many people are not aware of is how you've helped me especially in a particular area of work, which is a specialty of yours, and it was just not talked about at all on Christian radio. In fact, we just...
You've made up for that now.
Well, you know, it was amazing that all the people that were needing help, and yet it just wasn't addressed.
That's
it was
right.
considered too controversial or just... A bit edgy, and we were not trying to be sensationalistic. We're talking about sexual addiction, and yet you, first of all, you have a double area of two masters, and you counsel. You have men's groups. You counsel with multiple. People. I mean, you at times are dealing with the husband and wife, and but and on different topics too. But again, this is your area of expertise, as in getting specialized training, and I'd like for you to share about that.
Sure.
And when we come back, I'm going to share actually the book that I wrote, How to Defeat Harmful Habits. I would like to share what I wrote about you regarding, because I wanted to actually dedicate the book to you.
Yeah.
And I did so. And
you
so,
did.
Without, I don't think you knew about it initially, but how I appreciate the growth that we've both been able to experience together, and I'm talking about God's taught us so much, and you know that we didn't come out of the womb knowing you have to learn somehow. Well, we've learned many, many things together and separately.
As one comic put it, never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Well, if that's you, Hope for the Heart has good news. On January 10th and 11th, June Hunt will present a unique live webcast titled Conquering the Decay of Delay. If you struggle with procrastination or would like to help someone who faces this chronic problem, this special weekend webcast is for you. Presented live from the Hope Center in Plano, Texas, Conquering the Decay of Delay will address the many reasons and excuses for missing deadlines and disappointing others through procrastination. Most importantly, June Hunt will help you learn biblical solutions to the problem. For information on how to subscribe to this event, look for The Decay of Delay at our website, hopefortheheart.org. That's the weekend of January 10th for Conquering the Decay of Delay. Go to our Hope for the Heart website right now, and may we suggest, don't put it off.
I've got a serious, serious anger issue. It's not like I'm violent. It's a slow simmer. And then where it's just quick.
When did you first start having this tremendous anger?
Live calls. Real people with real problems. Biblical hope and practical help. That's the nature of Hope in the Night. Among the many conversations, we have identified several common issues. We've collected those calls and put them together in a single series of CDs called Biblical Counseling Live. Each CD provides unique examples of practical and biblical answers to a particular problem. The Biblical Counseling Live series covers issues of anger, depression, forgiveness, and other real problems. To order Biblical Counseling Live, call our care center line at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Or click on our resource page at hopefortheheart.org.
Jim Kress is one of the most recognized voices in Christian broadcasting. He has sat across the microphones from some of the best thinkers in Christian counseling to ask the questions that we all want the answers to. Jim has helped bring calm during times of crisis and comfort during seasons of pain. He is a compassionate professional that God has used to make a difference in the lives of thousands of people through the night. Congratulations, Jim, on 17 years of broadcasting with June Hunt. Our world is a better place because you are in it, and personally, I can't wait to see what God does next through your life. Grace and peace to you, my friend.
Dwight Bain, my good buddy from Orlando, Florida. You're a good friend, too. Wow, June, that was unexpected. That's touching.
Well, he was delighted to have that opportunity to say something specific to you. And, you know, as head of the International Christian Coaching Association, it has grown it's mushroomed. It's just all of a sudden, like it was here, and then it just mushroomed under Dwight. And yet you have had many, many conversations dealing with ministry, and he's a buddy of yours.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important, you know, notice how he was looking forward to what God had for you.
Yeah.
And I will say that I am going to miss your presence, but I wanted to, I wanted our friends who are listening right now to understand part of your dedication and how God's led you. And I'm going to read the dedication that I wrote. With genuine delight, I dedicate this book, that's How to Defeat Harmful Habits, to my dear friend and dedicated partner in ministry, Jim Kress, initially an announcer for our teaching program, Hope for the Heart. Jim also began co-hosting my live two-hour call-in counseling program, Hope in the Night, on opening night, 1996. Since then, he has contributed immeasurably to its success on hundreds of situations and in hundreds of stations. Jim's deep, warm voice opens our program each weeknight, welcoming listeners and inviting their calls. Because of him, a wise, seasoned counselor, I've relied on Jim countless times to help me think past a caller's presenting problem to get to the real problem. His insights have proven invaluable, especially helping me help strugglers caught in various addictions. And no one has been more used by God to help me understand the world of dual addictions. With two master's degrees, Jim adroitly addresses these issues based on his specialized training as a certified sexual addiction therapist. But he also speaks from personal experience. And I refer to the pages where you yourself shared a testimony and were more than willing to do this as a struggler turned overcomer who had an addiction that impacted every aspect of his life, your life. And instead of hiding his painful past, he has been willing to share how God has taken his mess and turned it into a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Having made the arduous climb to the top of the mountain, Jim maintains a thriving private counseling practice in Charlotte, North Carolina. That's right. Thanks to the wonders of technology, he is the call screener and co-hosts the broadcast virtually. He also leads intensive workshops on a bi-monthly basis for men seeking freedom from sexual addiction. Jim's personality is disarmingly fun and winsome, the perfect balance to his bright, razor-sharp intellect. Little known factoid, you won't hear from him. Jim aced New Testament Greek in seminary, coming in at the very top of his class. And that is so impressive to me. Many times during difficult calls, I've asked Jim off mic, what do you think? And sure enough, Jim's insights were just what I needed. Jim and his talented wife, Jessica, have three children, Jonathan, Joseph, and Juliana. So my dear friend, Jim, thank you for the many years you have stayed up with me into the wee hours, offering help, healing, and hope in the night. And because of the spiritual growth I've seen in you over the years, I also thank you for being an authentic man of God whom I genuinely respect.
Thank you, Jim.
Well, I say that because there are people who can be on radio. There are people who have recognizable voices. And you've actually hosted or you've emceed, you've done many other programs also. So I know that there are people who have heard you on other programs and helping other speakers in their specific calling. But I consider you, as the scripture says in Proverbs 27:17, I love this, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Well, I'm not a man, but you have sharpened me, and one person sharpens another. We are sharpened when it's the right relationship. And indeed, Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. So I want you to know I consider you a friend. So you got to love me, and I'm going to love you at all times.
It never ends.
And a brother, I've always considered you like a little brother.
I know you have.
Not little, but...
I've considered you like a big sister. That's right.
Born for adversity. So when I've got adversity, I'm coming at you.
I'm coming at you, too.
I would like for you to begin to share... and by the way, let me introduce right now. Rich Hooper, whom you know, is to be sliding into the role that you've had. So welcome, Rich,
Thank you. Thank you.
And
good evening.
Follow the baseball metaphor, Rich, as you slide into the role I've held, you're safe.
Oh, good. Good. That's always good. I was never good at baseball, hopefully. And I'm just going to tell you, I have some big headphones to fill here. I mean, with Jim, he's been a friend for a long time and just done a great job. And I'm excited about what God has in store here at Hope in the Night. And Jim, you are going to be missed. I mean, I've only been for the last couple of weeks sitting in and kind of learning the ropes, and there's so much more to learn, but I can see already that you're leaving quite an imprint on this ministry. And so I want to say thank you for your professionalism and years in broadcasting and all that you mean to radio and to Hope in the Night as well.
Mm-hmm. Right back at you, Rich. You're a good man, and they've got the right man for the ministry role here to do. Rich is a pastor in his own right, and our listeners get to know him, and he's done so much in radio. He's just got a good heart. He's a good man, and I say that about you too, Rich. And
thanks,
God bless
Tim.
You, and you're... You know, you may be doing the show for the next 17 years, so
absolutely.
Gear up.
All right, I'm ready.
So you better wait for that call. Like I'm going to call Jim, say, hey, Jim, now, and by the way, this is sometimes what I do, is I'll say, I called him, in fact, a couple of weeks ago, because I was asked by a pastor, so-and-so needs help. I've got to find this policeman help.
Right.
And so I said, okay, Jim, I said, What is your recommendation in this scenario? And Jim was able to help me in order to help this other man.
Don't stop calling, by the way.
Okay.
I know you won't. We'll see each other at many different AACC conferences and other things, but phone's always open, and I know yours is too.
Thank you. Yeah. Why don't you share what God has put on your heart to do, which is in keeping with what you have been doing most recently?
Yeah, I want to say this first. One of my friends all know this. My family knows this. I was able to leave Dallas, Texas in 1999 to go get a master's in counseling under Larry Crabb, something I'd wanted to do, and then ended up traveling with Larry for a number of years as I wanted to with his ministry. And that was possible because June Hunt said, I came with this crazy idea, hey, we could have a studio in my house. So I broadcast for 6 years from Denver, Colorado, and then at one point said, June, I want to move back east. And she said, I'll support you no matter what. And that I'll never forget that. And so I moved over to Charlotte, North Carolina, and I've been able to do that for the last 8 years. I want to honor June. She surprised me by coming to my father's funeral, something I will never forget. And so, June, you have supported me in so many tangible ways to whatever ministry, Bethesda workshops I did, traveling with Larry Crabb, the work with AACC. June, I'm going to have to be off the radio and whatever. Then I began to transfer to this place called On-Site Workshops, which is the new part of the ministry I'll be traveling to once a month in Nashville, Tennessee, to lead week-long counseling intensives. And you said, whatever you need, whatever you need. And that, at one level, that's impacted this radio program, and that's a little bit of part of my decision. So June has always supported me with whatever you need. So thank you, June. And what I'm going to be doing is pretty much what I've been doing, and that is to be able to counsel in the daytime. I lead groups, two groups, about 16 men on Monday nights, two groups of eight, where we do group counseling together, guys getting honest and real about some of the issues they grew up with and certainly sexual addiction issues. And as I turned about 51 years old and trying to take care of my health, it really just became an issue of staying up late at night and being present. I love doing this program, Hope in the Night. I just love. I've learned so much from June and the callers. And yet I realized to be at my best self was to be, it's like doing surgery. Patrick Carnes, who I got mentored under in sexual addiction, said, you all need to see yourself as surgeons. You're not just doing well care. Well, how you doing? Here's a couple of verses. And we're going deep into some trauma of people's abuse and abandonment and addiction issues, that AAA kind of engine there. And so to be at my best self, I've gone in the Eastern time zone where I'm to bed most nights by about 2:30, and I need about 8 hours sleep. And so that's part of the decision. I will be continuing to do what I've been doing, especially working around men who are sexually addicted and who've been sexually abused or traumatized. I deal with women also in couples, and then traveling to on-site workshops outside of Nashville, Tennessee, kind of a retreat center area where people come in, either an individual, a couple, or I'll be leading in January, group of 10 men and women, and we look at some of the issues that are hindering them from family of origin abuse to keeping them to be who God's called them to be, the best version of them that they can possibly be. And so that's what I'll be doing, and I'll be still, June, you and I'll be speaking together at the Branson, the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'll continue my, they've been very kind to invite me to do some writing for a publication and to speak for them, and we're both in that club.
Yes.
You and I know that, and have our memories of 9/11 and going to up there with a group of counselors, and there's a lot of memories where our paths continue to cross, but that's what I'm going to be doing, hopefully helping some people really get set free.
Well, you also are going to be in private practice with your own ministry, with your own office, and you and another counselor, am I
correct? There are two other Christian counselors, females, and I just drove from the office before we came to the studio, and the women have painted the walls yellow. This building was built, a brand new building, one story, in a series of buildings. And I went, not yet, no. It's actually a bright yellow, not overly bright, and I thought, I like having the ladies there because I know I'm not the best at style and order and all that. So they said, you ought to have it bright. And I actually like the color. But this building is being built. It's about three times the size of my current office. I need that because I can do my groups and everything right all in the same office. And I can have the space to help people just do some of the work. So I'm excited about that. And it's that's happening here at the first of the year as well.
You know, I love the scripture in Ecclesiastes 4:10, which says, if one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Well, you have been a friend to me. You have been a friend and are being a friend to so, so many in the counseling arena. While we're going to take calls right now, just know that I have immense respect for you and will always. I'm thrilled for the opportunities that are new. These are several new opportunities that you have now. And I pray for God's blessing, his richest blessing on your life.
God bless you. God bless Hope in the Night.
Hey, Linda, looking for a birthday card?
I wish. My friend Jackie's mom just passed away, very suddenly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can usually find cards for birthdays, but these cards just don't seem to do it for me. They're full of poetry and attempts at happy thoughts, but they don't really say anything very helpful.
Hey, I just thought of something. Look at this little book I got. I've been working my way through it since my brother passed away.
Grief. Living at Peace with Loss. It's by June Hunt. Where'd you get this?
I picked it up at the Christian bookstore, but you can buy it online at Hope for the Heart.
I suppose it's about $6 or $7.
No, just $3.99.
Seriously? That's less than this greeting card. And look at this. Almost 100 pages of scripture and counsel. This is perfect for Jackie.
The mini book on grief from Aspire Press and Hope for the Heart. Available on a variety of topics. Call now 800-488-HOPE or order online at hopefortheheart.org.
Here's some exciting news from Hope for the Heart. It's the Hope for the Heart app for your iPhone or Android that will let you listen to our broadcast anytime you choose. And it's completely free. Just go to wherever you buy your apps and use the search function to find June Hunt. Click it, download it, install it, and you're done. If you're not a night owl like June and can't stay up to listen to the end of our program, you can catch it the next morning or whenever it's convenient. While you're getting ready for work or even on your commute to the office or back home, just open the Hope for the Heart app and listen to either of our daily programs right from your mobile phone. If you hear something especially meaningful to you or to someone in your life, you can encourage them to listen. Check out the Hope for the Heart app wherever you get your apps.
Back with you on Hope of the Night Radio, offering God's truth for today's problems. Again, I am Jim Kress here with best-selling author June Hunt. Talk show line 1-800-917. Always keep that before you. And also the Hope line, 800-488-HOPE. June had referenced, and I hold it right here in my hands, the book How to Defeat Harmful Habits. And I tell you, a huge honor. She dedicated that book to me in the front cover of that, and I will always keep my autographed copy. I've got that right here. It's a great, great resource, folks. Freedom from Six Addictive Behaviors. It's called How to Defeat Harmful Habits by June Hunt. You can order that tonight at 1-800-488-4673. And on a personal note, if you ever miss my voice, go back and listen to the archives. Our producer, David Booth, has archives there for many, many, many months going back. You can go back and remember, there once was a guy named Jim Kress. Okay, I'm kidding.
No, it's the truth. I can't tell you how many people just say, oh, I love to hear Jim's warmth. His
you know
voice.
What people have enjoyed? I know we got to go to Randy's caller, mm-hmm. but Elizabeth had emailed today and just was talking about some other Facebook comments. People have just said they love the banter that goes on before us. And Randy's on the line. Randy, you had made that comment, too, when I was talking to you before we went on the air about the fun June and I have together. Randy, you had commented on that, too, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I enjoy your show and your program. Going to miss not having you on there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, buddy.
Yeah. He's going to be dearly missed in our hearts. So thank you. Thank you so much, Jim, for all the ways you contributed. Well, Randy, how can we help you?
Well, my question is about dealing with the pain that keeps coming back, and finding scripture that will help me to try to not just suppress it, but get rid of it totally. Mm-hmm.
What's causing so much pain?
Well, just recently, I've had issues with dealing with when I was 5 years old, I was assaulted, molested on a church bus, and
I'm so sorry.
Well, it's always people you seem like you trust that defile you,
yeah.
And then I, growing up, my stepmother, she was very mean. She used to make us do a lot of terrible things that I had to kind of be can't explain it. It's just, she would be very vindictive because of my father's running around with all these other women, being a very much a not at home kind of guy. But,
okay, so what you're saying is your dad was unfaithful with many women, and therefore your stepmother was vindictive and therefore took it out at times on you. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
She, when I really got to know Jesus and I went to her and I asked her to forgive me for everything I've ever done, and she broke down and started crying and told me that she was on drugs, and she beat me so bad, Jim, when I was 12 years old, that I can't have children.
Oh, wow. So this is clear violence, clear, you're talking about abuse that is physically violent.
Yes.
Hmm. Was there any other kind of abuse besides the physical violence?
The mental abuse I endured for years, he always told me about, I would never amount to much.
You know, the sad thing about that kind of verbal abuse is it does impact you emotionally. It's not just verbal abuse. To be told you'll never amount to much, you won't amount to anything, words are extremely significant to children because they are literalists, and they tend to believe, they don't think abstractly. They will take the word of an adult, and so therefore it can so dishearten the heart of a child, the view of a child in terms of what can I do with my life. So has that been impactful to you in your adulthood?
Yes. God kind of gave me such a release of all this, but I mean, when after the severe beating I took, I kind of developed where I wasn't going to let her hit me no more, and then I started having dreams about, you know, murdering her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I just wanted the pain to stop, and mm-hmm. I just didn't have it in me. I couldn't do it. But I wouldn't let her beat up on my little brother and little sister. And there had been times that, because she had this off sense of view about, she worked till like 2 in the morning, and when she would get home, that's when the pain begins, and she would beat me while I was asleep, waking me up.
Mm. Mm.
I would be in charge of cleaning the house and make sure of this to get things get done. And I remember my little brother, there was some cake she had thrown away, and he was eating out of the trash can, and it woke her up, and she beat him senseless.
Mm.
I kind of would not let her do it no more. I mean,
How did you prevent her from doing that kind of damage to him? What did you do?
Well, I would just step in front of her, and I told her, I said, no more for him. And I would bring him and put him behind me, and I'd just let her hit me. And so she would say, okay, you want it? And she'd give it to me, you know. She would backhand me a few times till she gets it out of her system, and then life would kind of ease up a little.
How old were you at that time?
I was about 11 and 12 years old.
Did you ever have any feelings of guilt about the dreams of killing her? Or not really?
Well, I don't know if I have. I just felt guilty about the whole mess. I mean, my father only stayed married to her, if he told me, because they were sexually right on, if you will. And that was it, you know? And.
But this was not your guilt. You said I've always felt guilty. Basically about the situation. Where was your guilt? I'm not hearing that.
Well, just that she would tell me over and over again it would be my fault because I looked like my mother, and that was one person she hated really with a passion. Mm-hmm.
She was a competition. Yeah.
Yeah. And all the letters my mom would send, she would put a few dollars in them or whatever. And she just, my stepmother was so mean. She would just take the money out once in a while, and she would hand the card to us. Eventually, you know, she felt a little compassion, but not very often did she even show us any letters that my mom had been sending. See, my mom was kind of guilty of being, of allowing my father to take the kids for the first time in 13 years and thinking that he would have enough of it because he never was around before, you know. He was like Santa Claus. He'd come around once a year or so. Borrow money from my mother to show little gifts that he cared.
And the reason they got a divorce was?
Well, he would come to her. Like, we were staying with my grandmother and mother, and he would come, like, every now and again and say, I found the love of my life, I want a divorce. And I remember listening from the other room, you know, and that they'd be talking, and my mother, she says, no, I'm not giving you the divorce, Frank. You can go do whatever you want, but I'm not going to give it to you. I never understood why Mama never cut him loose, except for, I mean, when she finally had enough of it after 13 years.
Okay. Well, so when you were blamed, it's all your fault. What were you blamed for?
Well, that's what I didn't really understand. How it could be my fault, but yet my job was to take care of the two young ones, and I just felt a lot of guilt about allowing her to beat on them like she beat on me. Well, a lot of times I just had to step in. I just couldn't let her do that to them.
Good. You did right. There are times when you're called to be a protector. And that was your role. You shouldn't have had that role. Kids are not supposed to have that kind of a role. And yet, you were an extraordinary brother. In fact, I think one thing that's apparent here, one of the reasons that you keep having pain is a couple of times you've mentioned that you feel guilty, and I'm not hearing where the guilt is in reality. There is such a thing as false guilt, and that's one thing I want us to talk about. There's true guilt and false guilt, and we've all been truly guilty of certain things. The Bible even says, it's the Lord who lets us know, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But one thing that keeps us in bondage is carrying false guilt. And I do want us to talk about that. Because you said, I have this pain that keeps coming back. Pain that keeps coming back. Well, if you have false guilt, it's just going to keep coming back, no matter how much you write everything in your life, you're going to still have pain. Well, that's not what God wants you to be experiencing at this time. We'll talk about it.
As one comic put it, never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Well, if that's you, Hope for the Heart has good news. On January 10th and 11th, June Hunt will present a unique live webcast titled Conquering the Decay of Delay. If you struggle with procrastination or would like to help someone who faces this chronic problem, this special weekend webcast is for you. Presented live from the Hope Center in Plano, Texas, Conquering the Decay of Delay. will address the many reasons and excuses for missing deadlines and disappointing others through procrastination. Most importantly, June Hunt will help you learn biblical solutions to the problem. For information on how to subscribe to this event, look for The Decay of Delay at our website, hopefortheheart.org. That's the weekend of January 10th for Conquering the Decay of Delay. Go to our Hope for the Heart website right now, and may we suggest, don't put it off.
I've got a serious anger issue. It's not like I'm violent. It's a slow simmer, and then where it's just quick.
When did you first start having this tremendous anger?
Live calls. Real people with real problems. Biblical hope and practical help. That's the nature of Hope in the Night. Among the many conversations, we have identified several common issues. We've collected those calls and put them together in a single series of CDs called Biblical Counseling Live. Each CD provides unique examples of practical and biblical answers to a particular problem. The Biblical Counseling Live series covers issues of anger, depression, forgiveness, and other real problems. To order Biblical Counseling Live, call our Care Center line at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Or click on our resource page at hopefortheheart.org.
Back on Hope of the Night Radio, Jim Kress here with best-selling author June Hunt. The talk show line, 1-800-NIGHT-17. And Hope Care representatives ready to talk with you tonight at the toll-free number of 1-800-488-4673. Tonight, in light of Randy's call, let me mention a couple of key topics, materials on the topic of victimization, a Heart of the Matter series on that topic, also on childhood sexual abuse that you could call to order tonight at 1-800-488-4673. And where we had started the program, even June's book, How to Defeat Harmful Habits, some people out of that trauma and abuse end up medicating with sexual addiction. I'll mention our materials on sexual addiction as well that you can call to order at 800-488-HOPE. And as well, her best-selling book on forgiveness, How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It, you can order that too tonight, 1-800-488-4673. The program is Hope of the Night Radio. Let's get back to the phones tonight, June, and your conversation here with Randy.
Well, Randy, my heart truly goes out to you because you talked about having this pain that keeps coming back, and yet I'm hearing that, like at age 5, you were molested on a church bus. But I mean, as bad as that is, it sounds like it's been this ongoing. Violence. This ongoing accusation of you by your stepmother, and when it is continual, I understand your dad was unfaithful, and so she was vindictive, and she would take a lot of her anger out on you. The thing I keep hearing, though, several times you've mentioned, it's like you felt like it's your fault. You've used the word guilt several times, and I said, well, what do you feel guilty about? And it's like, well, it's like everything was bad, and yet you were blamed for things being bad, and so you have felt guilty. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I want to tell you something about guilt. There are times when people have true guilt. I've been guilty. You've been guilty. Everybody's been guilty of doing something wrong. Number two, there's false guilt. False guilt, It arises when you blame yourself, even though you've committed no wrong. Or when you continue to blame yourself after you've confessed and turned from your sin. But there's also no guilt. When you should feel guilty, and yet you don't have guilt, it's like there's a seared conscience. Well, that's not where you are. I'm hearing that you have pain that continues to fester. And yet, this background of abuse wasn't of your making. And it is very important to separate what we are guilty about, what we're guilty for, versus what we are not guilty over, and yet we feel guilty. So, in other words, feelings, I'm going to say it this way, feelings follow thinking. Your feelings follow what you're thinking about. Now, I'm going to mention something you mentioned, dreaming about killing your stepmom, right?
Right.
I not only dreamed about it, I talked to my mom about killing my dad. I was 14 years old. And it was the same thing you said. I just wanted the pain to stop. But I thought, look, I'm a minor. I did a, for instance, with a friend's father who's a lawyer. I said, what would happen if a guy, and I made it a guy, blah, blah, blah. And so, well, he told me what would happen. And basically, at that point, at that time, after I would turn 18, I would be released. At least that's the message I got back. So I thought, I can do that. I can do that. Anything for the pain to stop. Are you tracking with me? Do you understand what I'm saying here?
Yes, ma'am.
Is that kind of what you were feeling?
Yes.
Okay. But notice, it wasn't to be vindictive. It was exactly what you said. You just wanted the pain to stop. The beatings. The wrongness. Now, it would have been wrong for me to have killed my dad, just as it would have been wrong for you to have killed your stepmother. But it was an outgrowth of what was unjust, correct?
Right.
Okay. Now, that was then, this is now. That was then, this is now. I'm understanding that when even you were having those dreams, by the way, did you ever think of how you might do it? Not just dream about it, but did you think about how you might kill her?
Well, I was think about just, you know, just taking a knife and sticking her while she was sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
That's about, you know, the extent of it, I guess. I never really contemplated about how to get away with it or anything. I just wanted it to stop.
That's exactly what I thought, too. I thought, I will get a knife. You know, it wasn't complicated. We were trying to solve a problem in our minds. Now, the Bible says there's a way that seems right, but in the end it leads to death. Well, that would be obvious with what you and I both were thinking about, but you were spared. Both of us did not do that action. And I think at issue is we've got to figure out, what is it that God wants us to know now? When you say you struggle with pain that keeps coming back, my concern is if you do feel guilty about being raised in a violent home, I mean, your situation is one of violence. It's one of total infidelity on your dad's part. Meanness, yeah, the way, you know, your mom, your stepmother, when your mom would try to reach out, you know, you said your stepmother hated your mom, and the letters that your mom sent, she'd send some money, but she'd take the money and eventually let you see the card. There's a callousness there, isn't there? A calloused way of living. So help me know. I want to hear exactly what is it that plagues you with guilt.
Well, I had got to the age of 12, and I was, you know, when I got to 13 almost, she slammed my arm into the door several times and put her weight against it to try to break it. I was able to get her off the door. And for the first time, I swung back at her, and I hit her backhanded on the face, not very hard, but she looked at me and with this look of, like, she couldn't believe it, you know, because I've been a good punching bag for many years. I've never lashed out or nothing. Never punched a fist at her. I was always raised in believing that from my grandmother down when I was with her, that, because from time to time, I used to hear them argue in the room, she didn't like looking at me, you know, because I reminded her of my real mother. And
so your stepmother didn't like to look. It was your stepmother who didn't like looking at you. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
She just didn't like me because I looked like my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it would, I guess, bring back pain for her. So she would send me away to stay with my grandma. And she would always welcome me to be there. So anyway, I would go stay with grandma. And it was really better. Life was good then, you know.
Yes.
My grandma had her illnesses and that. I mean, when I was 13, after that little, you know, confrontation we had with the raising a fist at her, my father came home. He beat me with a belt and told me that pack my bags and get out, you know, and he bought me a bus ticket and sent me down to see my grandma. And my grandma was really in bad health, but anyway, I had run into these. I couldn't trust nobody around there because that's where the molestation happened on the church bus. I'll never forget it. It's kind of like I really avoided it, but I run into this one gentleman that enjoyed taking pictures of young boys and find out that he's a deacon in the church. And like every time I try to reach for help, man, I end up running into somebody that's got a demented way of it, you know? They want to help, you know, but they want to, their little, whatever, you know.
Perversion.
You know, so I kind of, I thought I had God had taken all that away. It just, I don't know, just recently, maybe it's something I've seen or whatever, I don't know, I can't remember, but, and then from time to time, this guy would, and then for extra money, and I needed it at the time, because, like I say, my grandma, she wouldn't let me stay around too long, because she was in terrible health, and ended up living on the street.
So you did certain things with this other man, correct?
Yeah, with several other men.
Yeah, okay, several other men. Okay.
And mainly for the money.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I guess that's where the guilt sets in.
All right.
And the fact that I left my house, and I would, every now and again, I would talk to my cousins to find out how my brother and sister are doing. And anyway.
So did you feel guilty about not being there to protect your two younger siblings?
Yeah, because I let her have at them, you know, and her not being there for them. And
but don't forget, when God saved you, you mentioned that there was an experience you had of coming to Christ. Is that correct? And you asked forgiveness even of your stepmother. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to continue to talk, but there's one thing I want us to focus on. When you came into that life-changing relationship with Christ, Romans 8, the very first verse says, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when God looks at you, you're not being condemned. We'll talk about that freedom.
Would you like to partner with Hope for the Heart, helping provide hope to others? Learn more at hopefortheheart.org or by calling 1-800-488-HOPE.
Hey, Linda, looking for a birthday card?
I wish. My friend Jackie's mom just passed away, very suddenly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can usually find cards for birthdays, but these cards just don't seem to do it for me. They're full of poetry and attempts at happy thoughts, but they don't really say anything very helpful.
Hey, I just thought of something. Look at this little book I got. I've been working my way through it since my brother passed away.
Grief. Living at Peace with Loss. It's by June Hunt. Where'd you get this?
I picked it up at the Christian bookstore, but you can buy it online at Hope for the Heart.
I suppose it's about $6 or $7.
No, just $3.99.
Seriously? That's less than this greeting card. And look at this. Almost 100 pages of scripture and counsel. This is perfect for Jackie.
The mini book on grief from Aspire Press and Hope for the Heart, available on a variety of topics. Call now 800-488-HOPE or order online at hopefortheheart.org.
Back with you on Hope of the Night Radio, and I am Jim Kress here with best-selling author and conference speaker June Hunt. A very pleasant good evening to you, and glad you've stopped by. Again, the Hope line open at 800-488-HOPE, 1-800-488-4673. In light of Randy's call tonight, we have materials dealing with guilt and guilt-free living tonight. Many of you struggle with some of the realities of things done to you many, many years ago, and you've carried guilt or even shame over that. And the abuse that went on was not your fault. And yet you've carried the aftermath or impact of that. Check out our materials on guilt-free living. We've also earlier, of course, mentioned the materials Heart of the Matter series, both on victimization and on childhood sexual abuse. Not knowing just the facts of what happened to you, but the impact. What's the impact of all of that? Call tonight and find out how to order these resources. The whole issue of forgiveness has come up in this call with Randy. June has a great book, How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. I'll mention that as well tonight. 1-800-488-4673. Back to the phone lines, June, picking up with your conversation here with Randy.
Randy, I so appreciate the way you're coming forth, just saying, this is what I've dealt with. I have this pain that keeps coming back. Nobody wants pain that recurring, that keeps coming back. And then when I asked you what is causing the pain, you know, it is so helpful to, we call it, it's like the layers of the onion, you keep peeling back the layers of the onion, and then you keep seeing, oh, there's more. And of course, what you described initially, just at age 5, being sexually molested on a church bus, and yet I was hearing then when you had to be with your stepmother, a mean, really mean, violent stepmother beating you to the extent that you can't even have a child. That is criminal. You know, that kind of abuse, a parent could be in prison for, right?
Right.
Okay. So it is against God's law. It's against civil law. There's something terribly wrong, and yet you were seeking to be the protector of the two children younger than you. And yet, you know, this stepmother should come in from work at 2 in the morning, and then she would intentionally just go while you were sleeping and start beating you. What I heard was you saying, I kept hearing you say about your guilt. You would talk about you feeling guilty, and I was having a hard time understanding this. But then you explained, but you know, she said it was all this bad stuff was my fault. No. There's something called blame shifting. Abusive people are notorious for blaming their actions on those whom they abuse. This is called blame shifting. Shifting the blame from her to you. It's a means of controlling you, of breaking down any possibility of your resistance. You see, no one deserves abuse, and the Bible is adamantly clear about this. And the truth is, you were a victim, meaning you were powerless when you're a child in a home with somebody who's violent. You couldn't do anything about your dad, who had many women, and so then your stepmother, she's angry with him and takes it out on you all. You're powerless to change that situation. What I heard you do is you would stand in front of your mom, your stepmother, so that she would not beat the younger children. And okay, if you want to be hit, then she would do it. And that was noble on your part. It's painful. Now, I understand that, yes, there was a point at which you swung back at your stepmother, and then you were beaten by your dad and sent away. I understand that there were some people that you got involved with where there was a sexual encounters for the money. I get that. Now, you've come to Christ, so I want us to talk about how does God see you now? And I can tell you, His compassions never fail. That's what the Bible says. He has compassion for you that's unfailing.
As one comic put it, never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. Well, if that's you, Hope for the Heart has good news. On January 10th and 11th, June Hunt will present a unique live webcast titled Conquering the Decay of Delay. If you struggle with procrastination or would like to help someone who faces this chronic problem, This special weekend webcast is for you. Presented live from the Hope Center in Plano, Texas, Conquering the Decay of Delay will address the many reasons and excuses for missing deadlines and disappointing others through procrastination. Most importantly, June Hunt will help you learn biblical solutions to the problem. For information on how to subscribe to this event, look for The Decay of Delay at our website, hopefortheheart.org. That's the weekend of January 10th for Conquering the Decay of Delay. Go to our Hope for the Heart website right now, and may we suggest, don't put it off.
Here's some exciting news from Hope for the Heart. It's the Hope for the Heart app for your iPhone or Android that will let you listen to our broadcast anytime you choose. And it's completely free. Just go to wherever you buy your apps and use the search function to find June Hunt. Click it, download it, install it, and you're done. If you're not a night owl like June and can't stay up to listen to the end of our program, you can catch it the next morning or whenever it's convenient. While you're getting ready for work or even on your commute to the office or back home, just open the Hope for the Heart app and listen to either of our daily programs right from your mobile phone. If you hear something especially meaningful to you or to someone in your life, you can encourage them to listen. Check out the Hope for the Heart app wherever you get your apps.
Back on Hope of the Night Radio, Jim Kress with June Hunt. We love being part of your life. Thanks for letting us. Any night you want to go on the air, it's 1-800-917 and the Hope Line, 800-488-HOPE. Well, materials on the topic again of guilt and guilt-free living tonight. We've talked about June's best-selling book, How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It, and the reality of the story of many of you. There was victimization or childhood sexual abuse. We have a Heart of the Matter series on both of those that you can call to order tonight. Toll free at 1-800-488-4673. You'll talk to our Hope Care representatives there. They can answer the questions more specifically about those resources. Check those out tonight. 1-800-488-4673. And we'll get back to the phones here, June, with your conversation with Randy.
Well, Randy, when I'm listening to you, I hear that you right now could feel emotionally stuck. Is that accurate or not?
Well, in ways, I'm stuck, I guess. Mm-hmm. I seem to keep coming back to this situation. When I left, there was a situation. My little brother was boiled like a lobster in a bath to the point where he, at like 34, finally took a hot shower for the first time in his life.
That's horrible.
Anyway, I felt really guilty about that.
And yet you were not the one at all. You didn't turn the hot water on to make him be boiled. Did you?
No, I didn't.
So, is it your assumption that you should have protected him from all harm?
I just promised them when they were young that, you know, because they would hug me and tell me, please don't let her hurt us.
Yes. What did you promise him?
Well, I just promised I would never let him down.
Mm-hmm. All right. And to the best of your ability, Did you protect them as much as you could?
Yes, yes, I did. I did everything I could.
Okay.
When I was there, any time she would yell at them or try to, I could sense her mood swings, like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and I would detect that, and the very better I detected, I would run up the stairs and I would get the middle of it and let her have it be first.
Okay. So you kept your promise. You didn't let them down. You did everything in your power that you could.
Yes.
You did everything. You didn't break a promise. You're not guilty. The only one guilty here is your stepmother for her meanness and cruelty, as well as your dad, who beat you and was, you know, totally untrustworthy as a father. Both of them were untrustworthy. So I think at issue, you're a child. When you're a child, you think like a child thinks. And children can see themselves as protectors. I mean, my role that I saw, I was my mother's protector. And I'm not getting into my story. I'm just telling you, I understand that. I also got sent away. I hate that phraseology of being sent away. Because I know how that impacted me. Now, I didn't have the beatings like you did. I only had one. And but yours was serial. It was ongoing. So I'm just saying to you that you and I didn't have the ability. We're not almighty, are we?
No.
We don't have the ability to do what we wanted to do, and that is to stop the pain from happening. So, but children at times don't know that. They think, well, if I do this, or if I'm just better, everything will be fine. You know, and so we just do, you know, especially if you're told it's your fault, and I was told everything was my fault. So I understand that. But that was then, this is now. I'm concerned because you're saying the pain keeps coming back now. All right. I want you to repeat after me. That was then.
That was then.
This is now.
This is now.
That was then.
That was then.
This is now.
This is now.
Say it again.
That was then. And this is now.
Yeah. I believe with all my heart you were the best brother that you knew how to be. And if you were standing before God, I can promise you he would not blame you for any of the situation. When you're a child, you are powerless to stop abuse from happening unless somehow you are trained to stop it, and you were not trained. So this is what I want you to realize. You said you became a Christian. First of all, how old are you now?
50.
Okay. How old were you when you became a Christian? Approximately.
Well,
I'm talking about a true, authentic Christian, where you had a changed life.
35.
Okay. So what happens is, and the book of Revelation says, there is someone who's the accuser, who wants you to feel accused. Do you know who that accuser is?
The enemy.
That's right. He's literally the enemy. The word Satan means enemy or adversary. And it And the Bible says in Revelation 12:10, that the accuser of Christians, he accuses Christians day and night. So he wants you to feel guilty. I think you've had enough pain with false guilt. Now, there's true guilt over here, but let's just talk about this false guilt. Do you understand that you could be playing into the enemy's hands, and do you want to do that?
No.
No, I know you don't. Because you understand evil. You experienced evil. Well, there is the evil one who you don't want to play his game. So I want you to be able to say, that was bad. What happened was bad. I did try to make a difference. And by the way, you did make a difference. You did keep your younger siblings from experiencing undue abuse. Now, that's false guilt. And what I'm saying is, if you allow false guilt, you're playing in to the hands of the enemy who wants you to feel accused. And it's true that at times we have been wrong. Now, you've mentioned some things recently. I mean, you've described certain areas when you left the home and things you got into. And sexual sin. You said, I needed the money. I'm hearing you. This is what is important, though. Let's look at you from God's point of view. And I am going to send you seeing yourself through God's eyes, because I want you to see yourself through God's eyes. But I also want you to receive our material on guilt. There are some CDs and something that I believe it will help put everything in place. But let's look at this. When you think about God right now, I want you to imagine yourself in relationship to Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross how many sins did he die for?
He died for everyone's sin, right?
Yes.
Mine as well.
Yeah. He died for the sin of the world. So that means all people, right? Okay. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, how many of your sins did he die for?
All of them.
All of them. When Jesus died on the cross for your sins, how many of your sins were in the future?
I guess all of them.
That's right. All of them. And yet, when Jesus died on the sin on the cross for your sins, how many did he know about? How many sins did he know about?
All of them.
All of them. And yet he still chose to save you, didn't he?
Yes.
But he knew about every sin you would commit. And yet he wants you. He loves you. He cares about you. And he has a plan and purpose for you. So, this is what is great news. When you come into a relationship with Christ, your sins are forgiven. When Jesus died on the cross for your sins, yes, he died for your sins, and he paid the price to literally forgive how many of your sins?
All of them.
So, when you received Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is the great news. This is good news and great news. You received him in your life. Now, he is living in you. The Bible says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he's on the inside of you. And now he wants you to live in a way to reach out to others, to help others, to care about others. It could be that you would teach a Sunday school class for boys, and you would be the opposite of any abuser. You wouldn't do that. I'm excited about your future. I'm going to send you this material we have on guilt. I want you to go through it, and I'm going to send you Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes, because you have all the hope in the world for freedom.
I've got a serious, serious anger issue. It's not like I'm violent. It's a slow simmer, and then where it's just quick.
When did you first start having this tremendous anger?
Live calls. Real people with real problems. Biblical hope and practical help. That's the nature of Hope in the Night. Among the many conversations, we have identified several common issues. We've collected those calls and put them together in a single series of CDs called Biblical Counseling Live. Each CD provides unique examples of practical and biblical answers to a particular problem. The Biblical Counseling Live series covers issues of anger, depression, forgiveness, and other real problems. To order Biblical Counseling Live, call our care center line at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Or click on our resource page at hopefortheheart.org.
Hey, Linda, looking for a birthday card?
I wish. My friend Jackie's mom just passed away, very suddenly.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I can usually find cards for birthdays, but these cards just don't seem to do it for me. They're full of poetry and attempts at happy thoughts, but they don't really say anything very helpful.
Hey, I just thought of something. Look at this little book I got. I've been working my way through it since my brother passed away.
Grief. Living at Peace with Loss. It's by June Hunt. Where'd you get this?
I picked it up at the Christian bookstore, but you can buy it online at Hope for the Heart.
I suppose it's about $6 or $7.
No, just $3.99.
Seriously? That's less than this greeting card. And look at this. Almost 100 pages of scripture and counsel. This is perfect for Jackie.
The mini book on grief from Aspire Press and Hope for the Heart, available on a variety of topics. Call now 800-488-HOPE or order online at hopefortheheart.org.
Jim Kress, I have so many memories of you, my friend, sitting in your basement doing some radio together. I had some of my best times doing radio with your deep voice and your wisdom and your talent. I'm grateful for that. I've been grateful for your friendship. I've been grateful for all kinds of things about you, Jim. So I congratulate you for 17 years of ministry with June, continuing now in counseling. I think you're a good man. I'm glad for what you've done. God bless you, my friend.
Lawrence J. Crabb.
Larry Crabb.
Many hours with that man. Oh, that's kind. Again, thank you. Whoever was behind that, thank you. Yeah.
Well, Jim, just the fact that God has led you in a direction where you're going to be having a tremendous ministry, reaching out to those who need tremendous help and hope. Larry Crabb wanted to be a part of this evening to say that you have such value to him as you have had continued value to us at Hope of the Heart. And my friend, I know we're going to talk a little bit later. We're going to go back to our caller, but I just want you to know that there are people who have looked at your life, and because of the abuse that you incurred, you know, it's like our new friend here on the phone, Randy, who has felt tremendous pain. There is also healing. There is tremendous healing that can take place when you face it and you walk through that.
Indeed, by the way, I told Randy, I said, as we talked earlier, I said, you know, you're going to be on the last show I do with Hope in the Night. And he told his story and was even wondering about trusting me. Was I who I said I was on the phone? And And I thought, you know, how fitting of this call, as my therapist, Bruce Edstrom, looked at me many years ago in Dallas and said, God's going to give you one day an incredible ministry to sexually abused and sexually addicted men, and you don't even see it coming. And I thought he was crazy. And that has absolutely prophetically defined my life. So it couldn't be a better caller for me than Randy June. And I want to mention, it's what I do here with you, is to say, folks, you have your own story, some of you do, or your relationship with somebody does. Get the materials again we've talked about on Guilt-Free Living, A Heart of the Matter series on victimization, childhood sexual abuse, June's powerful devotional, Finding Your Identity in Christ, 31 different I Am statements of who you are in Christ. That's called Seeing Yourself Through God's Eyes, and her best-selling book, How to Forgive When You Don't Feel Like It. Get these resources. Have June as a life coach or a biblical counselor alongside of you at 800-488-HOPE tonight. June and Randy is still there with us.
Okay. Well, Randy, I'm glad you're with us on this particular evening. You can hear from Jim that what he experienced as a boy did not define him for the rest of his life. It impacted him for years, but it didn't define who he was or especially what he has become. Are you able to hear that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, that's great. So, you know, the reality is there are people like you and me who were blamed. We were told everything's our fault. And the wrongness of that, when you've got a blame shifter, when somebody wants to take the focus off of the wrongdoer, this is classic, to have somebody with a critical spirit, to somebody, you know, someone who was violent, all that you experienced. It is vital that you do what 1 Corinthians 13:11 says, and that is, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. Now that I'm an adult, you're 50 years old, as an adult, I put childish ways behind me. In other words, children are literalists. They are told. They typically believe what they are told. If they're told something that's wrong, that's their normal. So it's understandable that you can feel guilty. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to say, my stepmother had a problem, but I'm not going to let her be my problem. In other words, she had a problem. I'm not going to let her problem be my problem. My dad had a problem, right?
Yes.
My dad had a problem. I'm not going to let his problem be my problem. I want you to say that after me. My stepmother had a problem.
Stepmother had a problem.
My dad had a problem.
My dad had a problem.
I'm not going to let their problems.
I'm not going to let their problems.
Be my problem.
Be my problem.
You tried to be a protector. You were a protector. And praise God for that. Now, do you understand that false guilt won't do you any good? It just plays into the enemy's hands.
Yes.
Okay. So, are you seeing that you've been carrying false guilt?
Yes, I've been carrying a lot of guilt for many years, but the good Lord took a lot of that away when I was able to confront my stepmother about.
Good.
You know.
Okay. Then I want you to change your language, because you were telling me that you were guilty way back then when we were talking, and you were talking about what it was like as a child, and that it was your fault, or you said, I felt so guilty, and I feel so guilty. So that's not your guilt. That belongs to somebody else. That's kind of like the abused wife who feels guilty because she broke the yolks of the egg. She broke the yolk on this egg, and so she's beaten, and then yet she feels guilty for being beaten because she broke the yolk on the egg. Do you understand that that's wrong?
No.
In other words, she didn't. No one deserves to be beaten.
Yes, I understand.
Okay, so if you break something, this is where there are people where the punishment does not fit the crime, if you will. So what we need to see is there are people who are mentally out of balance. They are spiritually sick. There are people who are out of control. And that is not of your doing. So we have to say, they had a problem, but I'm not going to let their problem be my problem. I'm not going to carry the guilt that actually belonged to them. Can you do that?
Yes.
Okay, will you do that in the future? As soon as you hear something from childhood and you start feeling guilty, then I want you to say, no, that was not my guilt. And see, the reason you do that, you need to do that, is because Jesus is the one who said the truth sets you free. Do you want freedom?
Yes.
Okay. So repeat that scripture, the truth sets you free.
The truth sets you free.
Right. And the truth is you were not guilty about what happened during your childhood. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so if you have thoughts that go back to, oh yeah, but you can think of little things along the way, nothing compared to what was evil and vindictive and mean. You just had the role of being the protector, and you tried to do it the best you could. And God knows that. So that's the pain of false guilt that we've just talked about. The pain of true guilt is something we are all responsible for. I've been guilty. I've done things I've thought, I cannot believe I did that. You know, in retrospect, yet I can't take it back. I can't change it. So this is why you and I need a Savior. This is why Jesus was willing to leave heaven and come to earth. This is why when he came to earth, he committed no sin. Yet he said, you do not take my life from me. I give my life as a ransom for many. He knew we couldn't pay for our wrong. And the Bible says that our sin separates us from God. Well, so everybody sinned. So that's why he chose to die on the cross for our sins. That's why that word grace is called amazing. Are you familiar with the song Amazing Grace?
Yes.
Well, it's amazing because you didn't deserve it and I didn't deserve it. What pleases God? Let me ask this. Do you want to please God?
Yes.
Do you want to please the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Then I want you to say, thank you, Jesus, that you died for all my sins. Say that with me. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That you died for all of my sins.
That you died for all of my sins.
That when you went to the cross,
when you went to the cross,
you paid the ultimate price.
That you paid the ultimate price.
With your life.
With your life.
and your death has set me free.
And your death has set me free.
Thank you for allowing me to have you come into my life.
Thank you for allowing me to have you come into my life.
To change me inside out.
Change me inside out.
And make me the man you created me to be.
And make me the man you created me to be.
With total gratitude from my heart.
With total gratitude from my heart.
I thank you for so great a salvation.
I thank you for so great of a salvation.
That I am free.
That I am free.
Does that reflect your heart?
Yes.
So how are you feeling right now?
A lot better. I was just going to let you know, see, when God dealt with me about this before, now he had shown me in a dream of revelation about he wants me to open up a servant's ranch kind of thing, and we're just taking little people that have no place to go.
That is great. Yeah, so it's like your heart is that big. He's stretched your capacity for compassion so big that you want to help others. Well, the Bible says when the sun sets you free, you are free indeed. Well, you're free to do just that.
I've got a serious, serious anger issue. It's not like I'm violent. It's a slow simmer. Mm-hmm. And then where it's just quick.
When did you first start having this tremendous anger?
Live calls. Real people with real problems. Biblical hope and practical help. That's the nature of Hope in the Night. Among the many conversations, we have identified several common issues. We've collected those calls and put them together in a single series of CDs called Biblical Counseling Live. Each CD provides unique examples of practical and biblical answers to a particular problem. The Biblical Counseling Live series covers issues of anger, depression, forgiveness, and other real problems. To order Biblical Counseling Live, call our care center line at 800-488-HOPE. That's 800-488-4673. Or click on our resource page at hopefortheheart.org. Here's some exciting news from Hope for the Heart. It's the Hope for the Heart app for your iPhone or Android that will let you listen to our broadcast anytime you choose. And it's completely free. Just go to wherever you buy your apps and use the search function to find June Hunt. Click it, download it, install it, and you're done. If you're not a night owl like June and can't stay up to listen to the end of our program, you can catch it the next morning or whenever it's convenient. While you're getting ready for work or even on your commute to the office or back home, just open the Hope for the Heart app and listen to either of our daily programs right from your mobile phone. If you hear something especially meaningful to you or to someone in your life, you can encourage them to listen. Check out the Hope for the Heart app wherever you get your apps.
Hey, Jim, Danny Webster here. You and I go back to about 1989. We worked at another ministry and another organization way back there in the 1900s. And I'll always have great memories of working with you. And it was always fun. There was always something surprising. And I especially remember our lunches at Tia's, where I think between you and me, we probably consumed about 10 or 15 gallons of Tia's queso. And I haven't found anything to replace that yet. So anyway, the bottom line of this call is congratulations for a job well done, serving the listeners of Hope of the Night, and serving our mutual friend June. And most of all, serving the Lord for all of these years. You've done a great job. And I'm going to miss you around here. Your life has been a really good influence to me in so many ways. And I thank you for helping me laugh so many times. So here's a wish and a prayer. God's best to you and your family as you move in His direction for your lives. All the best. Godspeed. stay focused and keep your good humor. And I'm sure somehow, somewhere, I'll see you down the road. And when I do, you'll probably say, "Ma."
Well, welcome back to Hope in the Night with June Hunt. I am not Jim Kress. I'm Rich Hooper, and we are just going to take the final few minutes here. As you may have heard, Jim is no longer going to be the co-host of Hope in the Night, and he has so many other things that God has him doing now. And so I'll be stepping in as co-host, but we just thought we would take just the last few minutes of tonight's broadcast just again to thank Jim for all of his many years of his service here to Hope in the Night and to many of the God's children in the kingdom through his counseling. And again, as a broadcaster myself, knowing Jim for many years, I love what Danny said there, knowing him back in the 1900s. It just seems so long ago.
Wow, it does. Yeah.
But Jim and I do go way back. In fact, I debated whether I should bring this up, the whole concept.
It's got to be a KCBI story, I'm sure.
The first time I ever heard of making soup in a coffee pot, at the studios of KCBI. Jim did that.
Why does that not surprise me?
They will never live that down. So what happened was they were there. Carl Singer was the manager at the time, and somebody kept blowing up food in the microwave. I didn't. Al Ross was there. Somehow I got accused of it, so they came in. I had been in Dallas Seminary all day. I had nothing to eat but a can of soup. I was a college dorm guy, so I thought, well, I can just make. They took away the microwave, so I just poured the soup in the coffee. I cleaned it out, and David Briggs, who's with the Lord, came in and saw me and said, "What are you doing?" And so it became a legend that I made soup in a coffee pot. I did a few other things around KCBI, too, but that's another story.
Yeah, we won't mention the KCRN exit.
Yeah, Ron Harris loves to remind me of that. Yeah. So,
well, I think I need to talk with you more, Rich, about this. I need some more stuff on Jim, because we will be seeing each other, and I've got to give him a hard time somehow.
You have enough stuff. And by the way, let me just speak to the Danny Webster thing. So what's so touching about that is I owe Danny, and he never takes this from me, but I owe him everything, because Danny was the one, while I had met Frank Minrith at Dallas Seminary, Danny was the one who called me and invited me and pursued Dr. Minrith to let me come over to Minrith-Meyer Clinic. Mm. And I was not on national radio. Everything exploded for me at that moment when I went there and other things I got to do more on a national level. And I owe Danny a lot. And this is kind of fun. Rich, you cut tape before, right?
Right, yes.
I don't want to date you too much. But see, on reel-to-reel tape, you did the editing, all this fancy stuff that David does there now. Well, we'd cut, and I know David cut tape too, but you'd have the reel-to-reel tape, and you'd cut it and splice it and use a grease pencil. Well, we were there at Minrith-Meyer Clinic, and Danny had produced and cut out a whole section. This guy, Mike Frazier, was hosting Minrith-Meyer. I was his backup host. And so I'm playing the show. I'd have to come in on Thanksgiving Day, play it live. I remember my boys were there with me. So I'm playing this thing, and Danny had cut the tape, the reel-to-reel tape, put it in backwards.
So the guy said,
Mike went like, or something like that. I'm sitting there watching it. It's on the Moody Network, and all of a sudden I hear Mike talking. All of a sudden backwards he goes, "Mop." And it was, so when Danny said "ma," that's our, those were the old days. But I owe Danny a lot. He really, he gave me my start really in the national level, and I thank him for that.
He's a great friend. Just a fabulous man. He does all of my editing of our biblical counseling live calls when I do biblical counseling institutes.
That's right.
When we do these conferences. And so now we have, it's like a CD all on one topic. It'll be like on depression or on anger or on, whatever the topic is. It could be critical spirit or conflict resolution. And so we have now, but these are calls he had already done, and so he's just kind of putting them together so people can learn. And he is he's one of these men, it's like, you know that he has that highest ethical edge.
He does.
So Jim, are you going to learn to have that high ethical edge now?
I've tried for many, many years.
Wow.
You know, you two were always so much fun to be with, because we did so many things together, and I always loved the combination. You definitely were the spark of humor always. I mean, never was there not humor where you were involved. And yet there was that continual thirst for growth and for knowledge. I'd love for you to share, maybe a few people did not get to hear earlier what we mentioned in this program about what you will be doing. So why don't you recap that so people can pray for you?
And I appreciate it.
Because there are
it.
A lot of people who have loved your investment in our ministry.
Well, thank you, June, again. And I'll be doing what I've been doing now for some time. I'll just grab a little more energy in the daytime hours to do it. But I'll be counseling. I'm actually moving into a new office here in just a matter of days with two other Christian counselors, two females. And we're going to we do intensives where people can, instead of coming for an hour, can come kind of like you've done on Hope in the Night. June's one of the – you are the original broadcast intensive counselor, and that's no kidding. Where we will say come in for between two to six hours, maybe even come in for 2 or 3 days. That's when I go over to the places like Bethesda workshops or on-site workshops. That's part of what we do, so they can come in and just, you know, open things up, and then it's like, okay, got to close it down in 50 minutes. That can be rough. So I'll be doing that and continuing to my work, traveling over to Nashville once a month, leading week-long intensives at on-site workshops, and continuing being part of American Association of Christian Counselors, speaking for them as I'll be there with you doing the same. And so that's pretty much it.
Well, what if someone is listening and saying, you know, I just don't see the purpose in my life. I feel adrift. I don't know what God wants me to do. What advice would you give? Because I have an idea. You didn't know what God was going to be doing in you or to you or through you.
Kind of like you with Hope for the Heart and Hope in the Night. You know, you've shared that many times. You didn't see that coming, did you?
No, not at all.
We share that in common, don't we?
So how does a person navigate who's listening right now, who's saying, you know, well, it sounds to me like Jim's all right and, you know, on a course and June's on a course. Well, what would you say to that person who's struggling right now?
Well, and the idea of purpose in life, there are a number of places to go to. I always think of Acts chapter 13, the Word of God, Luke's writing there, and says, for when David had served God's purpose for him, so it's not his purpose, but is God's purpose for him, where? In his generation. Then he died and was buried with his fathers. So that piece is that every person living first bears the image of God. You're created in God's image. God has a plan and purpose for everyone. And as we've talked about the theme verse of this ministry from Jeremiah 29:11, his plans and purpose aren't to harm you, but to give each of you listening tonight. That's not just June Hunt and some author or Jim Kress or Rich Hooper or anybody else. All of us, God has a plan and purpose for our life. First of all, of course, we know to be conformed to the image of his Son. Before that would be to be saved, to understand that Jesus Christ came to die and he gave his life for you, that you would have eternal life. That eternal life begins now. That abundant life begins now. It's not like, well, pie in the sky. So now there's a plan and purpose for you in this generation, whatever that may be. And, you know, June has used the verse from 1 Kings 22 many times, first seek the counsel of the Lord. And the idea of saying to seek other people's counsel, the Bible says, in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom and safety. But God, what would you have for me to do right here in my little neck of the woods? I sound like Al Roker. You know, in my neck of the woods. What would you have me to do? Who would you bring in my path today that I would influence? By the way, you're a mother, a father, you're in a marriage. You know, Howard Hendricks used to tell us at Dallas Seminary, if your Christianity doesn't work at home, don't export it. The idea of saying, can I right now minister to my spouse and to my children? That's no small thing. Someone at work. And my dad used to say, June, you met my dad before, then you attended his funeral. He said, son, I don't get you, I'm not against you carrying that Schofield Bible to church, but son, you're the best Bible people will ever read. And along the way, to live that in such a way that men and women will be drawn to you and be ready to give an answer for that hope that's within you. Be on the lookout. If you're like Eeyore the donkey and Winnie the Pooh going around just thinking, oh, bother, versus God, what do you have in store for me today? You're a late-night guy like Rich Hooper is, and I've been, and you're a late-night person, an all-night person like June Hunt, then you can do that at night and say, Lord, as the next day cometh, what would you have me do? So that's part of it. And if you get blocked by some things, Hebrews 12 says, there's a race to run, It's not a sprint. No, we got to run it with endurance. So first, you got to fix your eyes on Jesus, but you got to lay aside the weights and sins that so easily entangle you. You better identify what those are. That's what June does here on this broadcast. Good counselor can help you with that, to identify, to remove some of those shackles. Mm-hmm. And again, like Proverbs 20, verse 5, my last verse I'll share is, the purposes in a person's heart are deep waters. We do scuba diving, not snorkeling. Because a person of understanding goes down deep to draw them out, and we say, that's the that's what's going on in my life. That's where good counsel like June does on this program, pray to God that I do, and I know Rich does in his pastoral ministry. That's what it's all about, June.
Well, Randy, when we were talking with Randy, he was a victim of violence.
That's right.
You, likewise, mm-hmm. were a victim of violence.
Yeah.
What keeps you from staying a victim, where there are a lot of people, it's once a victim, always mm-hmm. a victim. What can help a person who was traumatized to be an overcomer?
Well, once I am in truly a victim mentality, in an unhealthy way, I am powerless. Who wants that? I don't. Mm. And I really want to be, I want to be powerless like the first of the 12 steps. It says, I admit I'm powerless in my own self over this problem. My life's unmanageable. But beyond that, if I'm in the victim mentality, I was victimized once. Do I really want to keep living in the place where it hurts so bad? So the idea of saying, I was victimized, but I'm not a victim, that's not my identity. So part of that is, I think a lot of people stay in the victim mentality because they never deal with the fact that they've been victimized. They go, well, mm-hmm. it really didn't matter, and what you don't work out, you act out. So mm-hmm. work that out and to say, how is it? And then to turn, Sarah Groves has a great song. I start every day of my life with this. She says, I'm here to rewrite the tragedies of my life one line at a time. Hold on, I'm changing all the scenery. It's okay, we'll be fine, because we know how it ends. We know there's a better story. Mm-hmm. You can look at Genesis 50:20, my friend. And say with David, say with in Genesis, with Joseph, who's talking to his brothers, y'all meant it for harm, and be real clear, you tried to harm me. You meant it for harm. Same Hebrew word there, but God meant it for good. So I went, okay, Lord, don't know that I'd want to go relive all that abuse, but you meant that for good, and I accept that. Let's go find what the good is.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've done that. I've known much of the pain that you experienced, and you have allowed that mess in yes. your life become your ministry. You've allowed the difficult trials mm-hmm. to become yes. part of your testimony. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brother in the Lord, my co-laborer in the faith, my friend. Thank you that he's a friend to so many, that you are using him and you will continue to use him for great good. Thank you for the way in which he has been a partner here on Hope in the Night, and I pray for you to bless him beyond measure, beyond what he could even imagine. Thank you for so great a friendship for all of us that we got to experience with Jim. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you, my friend, Jim.
Thank you, Jude. To God be the glory.